Lectionary Lab Live is recorded in the studios of the 405 Oxford Group, Gainesville, Florida, and Brasstown, North Carolina, a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Welcome, everybody, to the Lectionary Lab Live. I'm John Fairless. I'm not here with my Bubba today. Unfortunately, Delmer Chilton has the flu. But we're going to move ahead with the Lectionary Lab Live today. I guess I'm going to be flying solo. That means the show's probably going to be a little shorter, maybe not quite as insightful as usual. I give a shout out to you there, Bub. I hope you're feeling better very, very soon. These are the texts today for the second Sunday after Christmas Day, January the 5th, 2014. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's go right on ahead now. I know that most of us preaching on this day may have a couple of different options. It's January the 5th, and for some of you, you may be thinking about the Epiphany, which is going to be occurring tomorrow. Some of you will have the option to deal with that today on January the 5th. Others can't really move the festival schedule forward any, so maybe you'll have a separate service. Also, many of us will be standing today and addressing our congregations for the first time. It's a new year. We may be thinking about a fresh start, getting a new beginning, whatever it may be. Either way, certainly will be appropriate. I am going to deal with the text today for the second Sunday after Christmas, and I'm probably going to think a little bit more about that new year, fresh start kind of approach. Delmer will have a sermon for Epiphany, and you can check that out on our website, lectionarylab.com. Hopefully, we'll try to cover both of the bases that way. You know, an interesting thing about these texts for today, especially if you're going to follow the idea of a fresh start or a new beginning or maybe growth that is lying ahead of us in the new year, each one of these texts in some way today mentions children. And that's kind of a neat way to think about getting into the text for today. Let's start with that gospel passage from John today. John, of course, tells us that it is by the power of the gospel that we become the children of God. We believe in the name of Christ. Now, as I've mentioned, and let me not really put a shameless plug in here, but I know some of you have been kind enough to pick up our book for year A, our Lectionary Lab commentary, and I'm going to go back to something that I said in there. We don't ever want to reduce our Christian experience to simply easy believism. Oh, all you got to do is believe, you know, and God's going to take care of everything and live however you want to. I come from the evangelical tradition and profession of faith, and believer's baptism are very important elements for us. But no matter how you access the faith, it is that power of the gospel that makes us new. We become the children of God. And it seems to me that one way of considering entry into this text is, what does it mean to be a child? Essentially, as we come to the faith like children, what does that mean for us? Well, one thing that suggests itself to me is the element of trust. Children are, for better or worse, very trusting. And we come to God like children, you know, you trust God or you don't. You believe in God or you don't. So maybe that's it at its most basic level. Becoming a child in the faith is just about simply believing. Children are also ready to learn. They generally are a lot more eager. Somehow, once life has beaten us down a little bit, we become more cynical. We become more skeptical. Maybe we become more distracted. You know, there are lots of ways perhaps you could think this through and play around with it. But a very powerful image to start with at the beginning of the gospel. The gospel allows us to become like children. I like the ending of that gospel passage as well. Verse 18, you know, we don't really get to see God other than through the eyes of faith. But what we are called to trust in Christ is that God's heart is near and dear to us. And Christ is the one who is close to the Father's heart. And it is Jesus who makes God known to us. That's why we come again and again. I tell my folks in church all the time, I'm glad you're here today. And, you know, we come week after week, time after time, because we are here to, as my former professor of homiletics, David Buttrick, I want to give Professor Buttrick credit here. We get to endlessly study Christ. We are learning about Christ, and it is Christ who is taking us closer to the heart of God. Sometimes we think about the image of Christ as the elder brother, certainly the one who is leading the way. And as children of God, we are following Christ closer into the presence of the one that Jesus called a heavenly Father. Play around with that. Think about that a little bit. This is where we need Delmer to come in and give us some great homiletical ways into that. And I'm sure I'm going to hear from him after the show airs today. Well, you know, you could have said this. Well, there you go. Let's take a look at our other text. Let's go back now to Jeremiah. And we have, again, I want to stay with this theme a little bit. If you're thinking about the fresh start, the new year, the new beginnings, we also have children mentioned here in the Jeremiah text. Now, the context is much larger. The context is God's people crying out through their tears, crying out after a time of struggle, after a time in which survival has pretty much been in question. God is restoring the remnant of Israel. I love the specificity, if you will, of the blessing that God wants to bring here. God says, I have become a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. These are my children. And he begins to talk about the way that God is going to bless them, those who are with child, the young of the flock, the young men and the old are going to dance and be merry. It is an incredible vision here of God's deliverance after a time of trouble. Again, I would think about having a fresh start. There are those for whom the year that we have just finished was a struggle. It was a time that some of them wondered whether they were actually going to survive. In most congregations, there will be those that we have lost during the preceding year. People will still be feeling, especially after the holidays, a time of loss. And so a vision of the future, a vision that opens up into restoration, a vision that opens up the provision of God, and very earthy things here like the grain, the wine, the oil, God's plenty is the theme of Jeremiah's reading. Verse 9 makes a good focal point, I believe. With weeping they shall come, but with consolation I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water. It will be a straight path in which they shall not stumble. That's not a bad promise for heading into a new year, for heading into the unknown, for heading into a time in which God has promised plenty, has promised peace, has promised restoration, and has promised, as we just finished celebrating in this season of Christmas, God is with us. That's the power of the gospel, isn't it? Let me take a second to point out here, I'm not dealing with the text from Sirach, nor are we dealing with the text from the Wisdom of Solomon. Beautiful text, wonderful text. Just honestly, I don't really feel that qualified. I don't work with these texts on a regular basis. So our blessings on those who are using those texts for today. I want to move on to Psalm 147. The psalm is filled with a lot of powerful imagery, a lot of nature imagery in this psalm. If we're thinking about having come through a time of some difficulty, if we're thinking about hope for moving ahead into a future, we've got images of the storms of life here that do blow through from time to time. God's power is manifest in the storms, And I think it's an opportunity for us to remember, to realize and reflect about God's presence with us in the midst of the storms. Picking back up on the children imagery, notice that the place of refuge here is within the gates of Jerusalem, the symbol of the presence of God, and that in this place, God grants peace. And notice, God blesses the children. Again, that's just something I would consider playing with here, especially if you're going to tie all of the text together around that gospel theme for today. Let's wrap it up with Paul's words to the Ephesians. Talk about a text that opens possibilities for a beginning and a new beginning. This text actually is talking about the beginning of God's plans for blessing us, for redeeming us, for making us God's children. Paul asserts that this has been God's plan before the foundation of the world, before the entire created order. God had on God's mind redemption. God had in God's heart making us into God's children. We've been chosen, Paul says. And not only have we been chosen, and not only has Christ brought us by the power of the gospel into the relationship of the children of God, God also gives us this very incredible gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit, a promise of things to come. The promises of God cannot and will not be broken. That's a good thing to remember in the midst of the difficult days. Now, that's not something you can automatically just sort of switch your brain on and say, oh yeah, I'm having a hard time today, but I remember the promise of God can never be broken. It's not a Pollyanna sort of thing. It does come through deep experience, doesn't it? Maybe an opportunity to have the congregation reflect on the year just passed, including those difficult days, remembering as well the days of deliverance, calling on that as a depth of experience, something from which we can learn. We look back and we see how God was with us. That in turn gives us hope, aids us in our ability to trust in God, that God will be with us in the days yet to come. Well, I can tell you for sure that that's about it today. Those are my best ideas here in my semi-post-holiday brains turned off a little bit. I'll be glad to have Bubba back next week, and we'll get back on track. I want to thank everybody for listening. This completes 52 of these podcasts. We've been doing the Lectionary Lab live for a year now, and it's just a great experience. We do love hearing your feedback. I hope you will continue to let us know what's helpful to you all. We intend during this next year to get back to our format of inviting some guest preachers to be with us. Who knows what's going to happen as we make our way through these texts in the year to come. It's a new year, right? A lot of fresh opportunities waiting in front of us. Let me engage in just a small bit of braggadocio here and on another channel. Each week, we go out with a song, and I don't know how many of you listen to those. I don't know how many of you pay attention to the songs. They are almost always selected for a purpose. Sometimes that purpose is a little more obvious than others, but we consider the closing song to be part of the show. So I invite you, if you haven't been doing that, to hang on for the, you know, the extra minute or two or three that it takes to enjoy the songs. Today, I'm going to go out with a song that was recorded and mixed and performed by the group from the Praise Band from the American Lutheran Church in Prescott, Arizona. It just so happens that the bass player is my son, Jordan Fairless, and he not only performed this, but he did the recording and the mix as well and sent it to me a few weeks ago and said, hey, Dad, maybe you can use this on your show sometime. And I told him I was going to use it to introduce the first show of the new year. So enjoy it, everybody. There's not much left for us to do but tell everybody bye. And so, on behalf of me and Bubba too, everybody bye. Lectionary Lab Live is a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Our opening theme is Mama Told Me by Frank Anea. We go out this session with Let It Rise, words and music by Holland Davis, performed by Sunday's Calling, the Praise Band of the American Lutheran Church in Prescott, Arizona.
let the songs of the Lord.